Welcome to Communio Calling. I'm your host, Gabrielle Sinclair, and today we're celebrating the Feast of All Benedictine Saints. As you may be aware, the Church has just recently celebrated the Feast of All Saints on November 1st. But each year, the Benedictine Saints get a double dose as we celebrate all Benedictine Saints each year on November 13. Today, we're going to hear from a few different voices of some of my recent and upcoming guests and their response when I ask them to share about a lesser known or favourite Benedictine Saint. First, we're going to hear from Sisters Elizabeth Brennan and Christine Manning, who quite separately chose the same group of saintly men. A recent story in the Benedictine Canon of Saints, but I'll let them share their reflections.
I think one of the most inspiring stories of recent years is that of the martyrdom of the seven Cistercian monks of Tiberine in Algeria in 1996. Their murder happened within the context of the rise of Islamic fundamentalism at that time.
Now, they're not canonised saints, but I think they are they're a profound model and example and witness of living a gospel life under the guidance of the rule. Each of the monks, like, they came from different other Cistercian communities, and they came to this village of Tiberine in the Atlas Mountains of Algeria, and they lived there during the civil war in Algeria, and in March of 1996 they were taken hostage and later killed.
These nine monks are not remarkable. They work in the fields, they sell their products to earn a living, they have simple common prayer, common meal together, they spend time in personal lectio. They're very different from one another in age. There are some very young and very old in this community. They're different in age, in character, in skills and background. There's an intellectual, a plumber, a doctor, a farmer among them. But they share a common call to religious life.
Now, what strikes me about them, their commitment to living alongside the people in this little village. They simply lived their way of life, and they lived it mutually with the people around them. They shared their resources, the community resources, both material and personal, with the villagers. They were in mutual dialogue with the people. They shared the life, they shared their life, and they shared the life of the community, of the local people.
But like the monks, the people of the village are threatened by the terrorists and the army. The monks, even at the risk of their own lives and after much prayer and reflection, choose solidarity with their peasant friends, and they stay in Tiberine.
The superior of the community, Christian de Serge, had a deep understanding and appreciation of the Muslim faith and was committed to interfaith dialogue and shared journey. He wrote a lot about it and he lived it.
Their prior leaves a written testament in which he forgives and calls the man who kills them the friend of the last moment. And I'm absolutely inspired by his testament, and he writes this wonderful last testament. And if you ever have a chance to read it, you too will be inspired by it. But it is a story of absolute, unconditional love, fidelity, faith and martyrdom.
But there's a film that was produced some years ago now. It's called Of Gods and Men. And it's a moving portrayal of the journey of this community, a journey of life within the community, the decisions and struggles they had to face, surrounded by violence. How were they going to respond to that? How were they going to live? And the decisions they had to make and the way they came to those decisions. I think it's one of the best films about Christian community that I think I've ever seen. I use it with the novices when I'm teaching the rule, and I say to them, like, just what do you notice in this about the rule? Like, what is being depicted here? And it's amazing what comes up, and how you can see something lived, you know, lived. I think there's a lot to be learned about what is human community, what is Christian community, how are we called to live as people in relationship with each other, how do we live our distinct life and let others live theirs, and how do we mutually enrich one another out of our difference. Not by trying to make everybody the same, but by trying to hear how is God working, what is God revealing through this person, through this tradition, you know, and what do we have to offer to each other? And it's a great example, a great witness of what we mean by Benedictine obedience in the life of that community. You know, how do they listen? How do they lean into each other, you know? And how do they come to a discerned and shared position about what is God asking of us in this situation? It's a wonderful example of that.
But I encourage you to find out more about this extraordinary group of Benedictines. They're ordinary people, much like us, and I think close to us in a sense because they're so human. So I'm very happy to celebrate them on the Feast of All Benedictine Saints.
What an inspiring story. Now we're going to hear about another modern Benedictine from Pat O'Gorman.
And I wonder if I can widen the scope of the definition of saint to embrace someone who has not yet been formally canonised, but whose life is an inspiration to others and to me. And that person is Dorothy Day. Only died in 1980, and I find that amazing. This is a person who's been alive in my lifetime, and someone who was proclaimed a servant of God, I think back in 2012, so not that long ago. Many people would know Dorothy Day, but for those who don't, she was an American journalist who turned social activist, who along with Peter Morin formed the Catholic worker movement in America. And she had a passionate love of the poor and the outcast and the downtrodden, an amazing woman. She was committed to nonviolence and absolutely lived compassion and hospitality for those, particularly on the margins. And she was unstinting in her insistence on the dignity of those in need. I've got a little quote here from an article that she wrote in 1943, and I always love it. She says, "There are always the poor, as our Lord reminded us. There are always the lame, the halt, and the blind. People being discharged from hospitals, unemployable, vagrants. There are always these, our least, in whom we may see Christ as he told us to. And the harder it is to see him under dirt and drink and vermin, the more we are exercising our faith." What a challenge. That's why I love her. What I love about Dorothy is that she doesn't only feed the poor, She asks the hard questions and challenges the structures that actually keep people in poverty. And that's where she was wonderful. So, you know, she was known as a radical. Like some people thought she was a ratbag, really. She was a suffragist, an outspoken critic of the establishment and of the church too at times for neglecting the poor. And she became known for her social justice campaign. Here's another quote that she wrote in 1946. She says, "We confess to being fools and wish that we were more so. What we would like to do is change the world, make it a little simpler for people to feed, clothe and shelter themselves as God intended them to do. And to a certain extent, by fighting for better conditions, by crying out unceasingly for the rights of the workers, of the poor, of the destitute, the rights of the worthy and the unworthy poor, in other words, we can to a certain extent change the world. We can work for the oasis, the little cell of joy and peace in a harried world. We can throw our pebble in the pond and be confident that its ever-widening circle will reach around the world." So for her, no action was too small. She says, "We can give away an onion. So no action is too small." So for me, I've always loved Dorothy Day. When I first remember hearing about her a number of years ago, I've always thought of her as a saint for our times. And her life inspires me, inspires us to turn to Christ, to see his face in the world's poor, and to raise our voice for justice. And it's interesting how you hear that being echoed quite a lot by Pope Francis at the moment in his particular encyclicals. So why do I think of her as a lesser known Benedictine saint? Well, because she actually was a Benedictine oblate. And I've always loved that. I think she became an oblate back in 1955 because I'm a Benedictine oblate and I'm proud of that. But she was, yeah, a Benedictine oblate with Procopius Abbey in Illinois, Procopius Abbey. And when I think about her, I actually think her whole life was a living embodiment of chapter 53 of the rule, which enjoins us to welcome all as Christ. And I think she did that. So I finish with my favourite quote from her, where she's reported to have once said to someone, "Please don't call me a saint. I don't want to be dismissed so easily."
We're going to hear another story of an oblate life lived in 14th century Rome from Sister Claire Condon.
I like Frances of Rome. She wanted to join a contemplative community and didn't. She was sort of in an arranged marriage, which had its strengths and its weaknesses. But she's regarded as the patron saint of oblates. And so throughout her married life, she was married into a very wealthy Roman family, but she served the poor. She walked the streets of Rome to care for those that were homeless or without food. She got into trouble at times for taking too much food from the home to feed the people on the streets of Rome. A lot of the stories around her might be apocryphal, but to me she's the image of a good, solid Christian person and out there living the gospel to the best of her capacity. So, yes, I've got a spot for Frances of Rome.
Our final reflection takes us to 12th century Germany with Moira Nadjecki.
I was actually reading a book called Matrix by Lauren Groff, which is about a young woman who was sent by Eleanor of Aquitaine to go into an abbey, and for a whole lot of different reasons. And she didn't want to go, and she didn't like it at all, etc. But she set up a wonderful abbey. But it made me think about what it would have been like, you know, all those years ago. I've forgotten what period it's in. It's 1200s or something. And I've always quite liked Hildegard of Bingen. And this Mari, who is in this book, reminds me of what perhaps Hildegard of Bingen might have been like in terms of being feisty and ready to speak out and taking on a role that women probably didn't take on at all in that medieval world.
I must admit I have a great admiration and curiosity for Hildegard von Bingen. Only fairly recently formally acknowledged as a saint and doctor of the church, she was a German Benedictine abbess, writer, composer, preacher, philosopher, Christian mystic, visionary. I believe she had 26 visions that she wrote about. A doctor, pharmacist, artist, and polymath. Her deep connection and love of the incarnate word expressed through all of creation overflows in her writing, art, and music. Her music is just stunning. I hope you enjoyed this opportunity to share some of the lives of those that have walked the path of Benedict before us. I'll make sure you have some access to links in the description for the movie of Gods and Men and the music of Hildegard von Bingen. But I recommend going and searching out a few of these names that you've heard today and walk the path with them. Finish today with the concluding prayer and blessing that comes from morning prayer for today's feast from the Book of Hours for the Good Samaritan Sisters. Loving God, we celebrate your faithfulness and love. We praise you for the wonders you have worked through Benedictine women and men from generation to generation. Recreate us daily in your image that we may run on the paths of your commandments, our hearts overflowing with the inexpressible delight of love. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your word, and in the unity of the Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us prefer nothing whatever to Christ. May he bless us and all who follow the way of Benedict and bring us all together to everlasting life. Amen. Thank you for joining us to celebrate all Benedictine saints. But for now, as you continue through your day, may the transforming table of hospitality be wide, inspiring you with mercy and compassion to go and do likewise. Good Samaritan Education acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands and waters upon which we reside, work and travel, and pay our respect to elders past, present and emerging. Communio Calling is a podcast series by Good Samaritan Education. Good Samaritan Education is responsible for 10 incorporated schools in Australia. Our mission in Catholic education is to nurture and develop learning communities in the Good Samaritan Benedictine tradition. Our theme song, In All Things, by Jen Bryant, is available through Willow Publishing. Our Communio Calling artwork features the beautiful stained glass window from Martyr Christi, Belgrave. You can follow Good Samaritan Education on social media at GoodSamEd or on our website, goodsameducation.org.au. Don't forget to subscribe to Communio Calling so you won't miss our future episodes. We look forward to you joining us again as we incline the ear of our hearts so that we may progress in this way of life and faith together.